Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
Show number 40. Yeah, that's right, I said 40. For Monday, January 25th, 2010.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
And now, two guys who go together like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Wait a minute. Darn it, what is it with me and basic math?
Teach your children well.
Your host, Lou Costanzo and Brian Dedamore.
Slowly go by and feed them.
Devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
Hello, everybody, and... Shut up! Damn brain. Welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I'm your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.loutrekshow.com. You can send us emails. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that's all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point, and we will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter by going to loutrekshow.com/Twitter, and you can even send us voicemail on Skype by plugging in Lou Trek Show, all one word, on Skype. And you can even join our forums. I'm not even going to talk about that. No one does anyway, so if you want to join the forums, go to the main page, you'll see how. What else can we talk about? I don't know. If I think of something else, I'll come up with it. But until then, I think it's time we bring on our co-host. And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present your co-host, the birthday boy himself, Brian Dedamore.
Once a year we celebrate with stupid hats and plastic plates the fact that you were able to make another trip around the sun. And the whole
all right, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. No music today?
Can't you hear it?
No.
Now you're 1 year older.
No intro music.
You haven't heard one bit of intro music at all?
Nope.
Oh, man, you're not hearing anything. So,
just you.
Well, it's a good thing that all right, everybody, I'm sorry. I know we just did this, but we're going to have to go to Skype. And we're going to go to Tools, Options, Audio Settings, Microphone. Oh, there we go. It's not stereo mix. Okay, hold on. Let's... okay. Did you hear anything just now?
Barely.
All right, here we go. And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present your co-host, the birthday boy himself, Brian Dedamore.
Once a year we celebrate with stupid hats and plastic plates the fact that you were able to make another trip around the sun.
Yeah. And the whole how's that? Does that help?
Yeah, it helps greatly. You gonna finish the whole song?
Well, I mean, we'll let it play in the background while we're talking, but it's a little too long to keep going. But this song actually was on, not was on, but I got it from something about Voyager. I guess it was Voyager's 1 year anniversary. And this song on YouTube basically has just about a whole bunch of stuff from Voyager.
I'll have to get that. You'll have to send me a copy of that so I can put it on my computer.
Yep.
What have you done that matters? Happy birthday. You're starting to get fatter. Happy birthday. It's downhill from now on. Try not to remind yourself your best years are all gone.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the best years all are gone. Oh, is that the truth? Man, I'm telling you. It sucks getting old, doesn't it?
It was good. I love that song. I'll have to definitely get that one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
How have you been?
Oh, pretty good.
Besides sick.
Oh geez, you know, I feel pretty good now. Knock on wood. And I made sure I knocked hard too, because damn it, I'm sick of it.
You were awful last week.
I know, but I went on anyway. And you know, and everybody, it's funny, Brian wasn't feeling too well last week, so it doesn't matter why or how, but, you know, he wasn't feeling good, so I just went ahead and went on with him, so, and,
I had a migraine headache. You ought to see these new glasses I got.
These what glasses?
He got new glasses. I got these bifocals. And they've curved because my eyes have gotten worse, and because they had to put the bifocals in, it looks like a plastic lens Coke bottle. Coke bottles, the old flat bottom Coke bottles.
Yes. Okay.
So when I put them on, it's like looking through the passenger side rear view mirror. Everything is rounded, and everything seems to be farther down than what it actually is.
Sure.
And then I'm trying to adjust to these bifocals on top of everything else.
Oh, sucks to be you.
And I can only wear them for maybe an hour and a half tops, and then I got to take them off because the strain of having them on just is way too much for me to handle. In fact, speaking of headaches, it's time to put the headache makers on now. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, give me a second here.
Okay. All right. Ah! Oh, you
I
feel
can
better
see
now?
Andrew.
Do you feel better?
No, like I said, it's like looking to a curved lens.
All right.
Now I know how bees feel.
I don't want to hear it. Okay, well, anyway, let's see here how we can get past this conversation. Well, as everyone can see on the main page, when you went to the main page, you saw we also had video of this show, and the reason is we have a couple videos we'd want to show everybody about a couple spoof things that I didn't even know existed, especially one in particular. One in particular I had no idea it was ever there. And the other one, I think I may have seen it. I'm not 100% sure, but it doesn't look familiar. So we tweeted this, and of course this will be an interesting thing to see how many people show up into the Ustream. So far we're still sitting at a goose egg. No, I take that back. There was one guy here, but then he disappeared shortly after he got here, so... I don't think we can count that, can we?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, we had one so far.
He showed up, so whether he stayed is whatever, but he showed up. So as long as he shows up, we've had one.
Now, one thing I do want to get into before we really get into Star Trek, this doesn't have much about Star Trek, but I hate rap music. I'm going to tell you now I hate rap music. I don't like rap music at all. But there's a new rap song that I want everybody to hear because it's kind of cool. And, let's play Where's Waldo. Try and find out where the Lou Trek Show, if you hear it or not. And but this is a Byron Brown rap. And you've heard of hardcore rap, right? You know what hardcore rap is? Well, this is not hardcore rap. This is nerdcore rap. So, it's what he calls it. He calls it nerdcore rap. So, Byron Brown is a tech podcaster as well. I first met the guy on the Mike Tech Show. At MikeTechShow.com, and he's really good. He does his own podcast show. It is very awesome. So I'm gonna go ahead and play his nerdcore rap. Check it out.
Byron Brown, the funk beat blaster, master podcaster, ain't nobody here faster, tweeting up a storm, I'm just getting warm, check out my form, auto-populate my data at a steady rate, when I broadcast, my mouth is like an anvil, dropping heavy topics on the web from every angle, don't try to dangle, my flow is straight lethal, voice cock diesel, no I'm not beneath you, but I'm behind you, I know where to find you, messing with my crew, control alt delete you, let me remind you of all the things that I do, podcasting you streaming, now you can Skype me, let me in your psyche, there's nobody just like me, need a promo for your podcast, and you need me, Byron Brown, the big B bomber, now I'm in your mind, so get your mental armor, Tyson Brooks is off the hook, yeah for real, get your streams all in one place, with Streamzilla, Chris D, the maniac, that's in the attic, from PC addicts and broadcasting, with no static, chilling with Jill and Scott I be, turning up my knowledge with computability, from Lou Trek to the average Joe, showing respect for the Mike Tech Show, and you know how it goes. Ha ha! Hey y'all, this is Byron Brown from ByronBrownTechAndStuff.wordpress.com. Remember that you can check out my podcast, BBTAS, on iTunes, as well as at the blog location. Look for me anywhere you want to. Go ahead to Google and type in Byron Brown and you'll find me. I'm on YouTube, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. I'm always down to have a good conversation and have a little bit of fun. I got to give much respect to all those people that I did not mention, but a special thank you out there to Citizen X for getting this all started for me, and Big Fletch, oh yeah!
Yeah. That's the Byron Brown rap, and that was pretty damn nerdcore, wasn't it? Yep, I think Brian said yes, it was, in fact. So, okay, what do we got next on the show? And, of course, all the websites that Byer talks about in the nerdcore rap is going to be listed on the main page at lewtrekshow.com. They include Tyson Brooks, Streamzilla, Chris D, and Jill from Computability, PC Addicts, The Mike Tech Show, Citizen X, and Big Fletch. I will have a link. Matter of fact, if you're watching this on the Ustream feed or on the Ustream recording, there it is right there. Yeah, I know. You can't see it. So, I need to go type top. Let's go down. There we go. There we go. Now we can make this a little smaller. And here we go. All right, so what do you think of that, Brian?
It's not. It was unusual.
It was unusual or was not unusual?
It was unusual.
Oh, yeah. A little bit, but, you know.
I should rephrase that. That was unique.
That was unique. I will give him that much. And, you know, he's got a good set of pipes. So, I do like hearing his voice. But, all right. Well, we were going to talk about a couple things. But first, we want to go a couple of video spoof videos that I didn't even know existed until recently. So maybe, Brian, when you hear this, because you're not going to be able to see it. So when you hear this, tell me if you've ever seen any of these. This first one is called Star Trek. Actually, this had to have been done before Star Trek 7 or whichever one Star Trek 7 would have been. Because it says The Really Last Voyage.
So, is it on the website right now?
No, it isn't. You want to watch it with us?
I'm trying to get to the Lou Trek Show now and get to the Ustream, yeah.
Oh, here, I'll send you the link on Skype.
Oh, that don't do me a whole lot of good since I'm already working through the... Where's it at on the Lou Trek Show?
It isn't. Just go to the link on Skype because it's actually on Ustream's website. Okay, so once again, I've had to mute this a couple times, so I'm not exactly sure what I've told everybody. This one is called Star Trek 7 Really Last Voyage.
Captain's log, stardate, I can't remember. Our 5-year mission has now turned into 25. We just left the Romulan galaxy, and we're approaching Zenility. We are also being followed by an unidentified vessel, which may be hostile. This entity, this thing, has been chasing us for 2 solar systems. Mr. Sulu! Establish warp speed. And turn that blinker off. We've been turning left since right is fine.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Hey, look out for that asteroid! Damn, sir. Are you...
Well, legally, sir, I am. However, in this galaxy, I am allowed to drive to work and back. Captain, my sensors tell me there's a deadly gas emanating from the engine room.
Scotty!
Aye, Captain!
What's going on down there?
Captain, I've lost complete control of my bowels.
You should be wearing your Starfleet Depends.
I can't, but I've sprung a leak and I can't hold it much longer.
Stay where you are, Scotty. Please. Spock! Spock! Stop wandering around and tell us who these people are.
Actually, Captain, it's several ships. They're honking and yelling profanities.
Well, tell them to go around.
Well, by the way, Jim, I must remind you that as a Vulcan, I must mate once every 7 years in order to survive. I've only got 2 days left and, well, sir, you're starting to look good to me.
Captain Spock, that's how I broke my hip in the first place.
Captain, they're firing on us.
Damn kids! Uhura, try to establish communication with the attackers. What did I tell you about wearing those old outfits? Pardon me. Uhura, believe me, at this point in your life, no man is bold enough to go there.
You didn't say that 500 light years ago, sucker.
Shh.
Kevin, wait a second. I think they're trying to establish communication.
Screen up. Everybody, clap on. There's nothing on the screen.
Jim, their radar has jammed our frequency. They're about to fire upon us again.
Mr. Sulu, get us out of here! God, he's flatlining again. I told him to take the nitro pill. Clear.
Aye, aye, sir.
Spock, my Vulcan friend, where are you?
Help! I've fallen and I can't get up!
Spock needs medical attention. Bones to the bridge! Bones to the bridge! Please, do something.
Damn it, Jim! I'm a corpse, not a doctor! Captain! Sensors indicate that there are intruders on board.
Oh, maybe it's me aboard wheel.
I'm taking no chances this time. Establish defensive positions.
Okay, people, you have had your fun. It's back to the Sunnyside Retirement Colony. Your children have been very worried about you.
We're not going anywhere until we get our trip to Bountiful. Right, guys?
Right.
We're having Salisbury steak tonight.
Oh, with mashed potatoes.
And tapioca pudding.
You dirty bastards. Spock, not you.
Are you kidding, Jim? It's bingo night. Besides, live long and prosper. Ah, damn arthritis.
Captain's log. Stardate 2057. I guess six sequels was not too bad for a beat TV show that was canceled light years ago. I could stay and fight, but...
I could get you some more tea.
No sense beating a dead dog.
All right, Matt.
really, I'm sorry, I thought I had myself muted.
That's okay. Yeah, if you want to give me some tea too, that'd be perfect. Hey, there's a Ustreamer in here. Would you like some tea? No, that's right. You're a Ustreamer, so you can't talk. Oh, it's too bad. All right, and that was a really long voyage. So I'm gonna go ahead and let's see. Let's play the next one. All right, and I just had to get Brian to be able to watch the next video with us. This is called Comic Relief, Star Trek The Next Generation, and this is the reason why I wanted to make a video of this to show, because this is hilarious the way they did this, and this is the one I had never seen. I don't know when they did it. At first I thought maybe they took the Next Generation people and overdubbed their voices, but that didn't happen that way. It looks like they actually made it for Comic Relief, so... here you go.
Sir, the away team is signaling from the planet's surface. Commander Data is ready to beam up with the artifacts.
This sounds exciting, Will. I wonder what they've discovered.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. Have them come directly to the observation lounge and tell Dr. Crusher to meet us there.
Aye, sir.
So, what do we have here, Mr. Data?
Ship's computer has identified these items as articles used by an organization on Earth known as Comic Relief. Their purpose was to raise funds to combat homelessness in the late 20th century.
Among the items we found was a video cassette. We've downloaded it into the ship's computer.
Do you know those people, Data?
Yes, these three humans were the hosts of Comic Relief. Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, and Hoopie Goldberg.
Hoopie? What kind of a name is Hoopie?
Is it just me, or does this Hoopie person bear a striking resemblance to Guinan? You don't think.
What about these items, Data? What was their purpose?
This particular item was known as a T-shirt. When an individual made a monetary donation of 30 units of their currency, or dollars, to Comic Relief, they were given one of these for their contribution in fighting homelessness. For a contribution of $60 or more, they were given a T-shirt and a sweatshirt.
It's too bad these were ravaged by time. They would have been a valuable find.
These items weren't damaged by the passage of time, Commander. They were destroyed during transport. Seems they were made of a 50-50 blend of cotton and polyester. Transport couldn't handle it.
Polyester? I thought that material was outlawed in the 21st century.
Yeah. You couldn't give these shirts away today.
Well, it sounds like a noble cause. How successful were they?
In their first five telecasts, they raised over $20 million, which was distributed to the National Healthcare for the Homeless program. Through their efforts, 500,000 homeless men, women, and children received medical services. The entire project was carried out using humor and the credo, where there's laughter, there's hope.
Now, that was pretty cool, I gotta admit. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah. So, all right, everyone. There we go. There's that. So, yeah. And we're back down to just us. So we're going to go ahead and end the video segment of this show right here. So there we go. All right. Now, let's see here. Ready? Alright, and so we now just excised the video, so now we're only strictly audio from this point on, so we can go ahead and get into our usual nutty job that we do here. So, now...
I was just thinking,
my boss gave it to me the other day, and he didn't even say anything about it to really make me think this, but we were talking about our company's parking policy, where we can park close enough to the store. We got to park farther away so that customers can park closer to the store. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Makes absolute sense. So, and then, I was thinking about a Federation parking policy. What if the Federation had to come up with a parking policy where you runabouts and starships would be allowed to park? What do you think that would be like?
It'd be like the same thing you find in an airport.
No parking in loading zones or what?
Well, no, the ships have their own position in the. I don't know if you know anything about Federation star bases, but they're the ship docking where the ships dock at. Dock inside the starbase itself.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like one great big parking lot. Think about Pearl Harbor for a minute, okay? Where they have certain areas where the ships dock at, and then they have side by sides. Uh-huh. Where they moored side to another ship. Well, it's kind of the same way in the space docks. They're spread out throughout the whole space dock, and each ship has their own area, and then the runabouts have their own launch pads that they're assigned to. Hmm. Now, see, with Klingons, it's whoever's there first gets it, and whoever has the balls to shoot them out of their spot gets it.
Yeah, there you go.
Ferengis is easy. How much latinum do you have to have the premier spot?
There you go. Or for the Federation, you got to have some parking spaces for people who want to do business with Earth, I guess. So you can't park too close to Earth, right? Now, of course, you also have to be able to park them just right so that starships or runabouts don't run into each other. Because what happens if they run into each other when they're in orbit? Well, they come down to Earth, and we don't know where it's going to come down to, so you've got to be careful, right?
What do you mean you don't know where they're going to come down at?
Well, exactly. You don't know where in the world it's going to come down. All you know is that parts of starships are coming and going to be raining down on the Earth here.
If they could tell you where meteors are going to fall out on the Earth, then why wouldn't they know where a runabout's falling down
at?
Well,
that's true. After they've crashed into each other and they start heading down to Earth, then they can tell you who's going to be, you know, having starships rain on them. I would imagine. Okay. What else?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We're thinking. How about transporters? How about where you can transport, where you can't transport? What do you think of that idea?
That's all computerized.
Well, yeah.
It's computerized by your acts, by when you're identified, then they know what, by your security clearance of who you are, will determine where you can teleport, transport, and where you can't transport to. But doesn't mean you can't circumvent the system and end up in the women's locker room.
I was just gonna say, I mean, you know, I wanna be in Playboy headquarters locker room. Can I transport there?
Yeah. Well, depends if they've got a dispersing shield over the place where you can't transport. There's no reason why you couldn't.
All right.
I mean, you could circumvent the system to do anything.
Okay. How about this? How about we transport just outside the Playboy Mansion? We use our personal cloaking device to cloak our bodies, and then we go inside to into the building, and they don't even know we're there. All they know is it's the inside air pushed the door open, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that I just walked in because I'm cloaked. And then I'll just walk back to the locker room, and we'll watch two beautiful naked women next to each other. I'll pinch one of them on the butt, and she'll turn around and go, "Oh, Cindy, stop that." And Cindy will go, "What? What are you talking about?" And, well, I'm not going any further in that conversation, because then it won't be family-friendly no more, will it? Speaking of personal cloaking devices, why didn't they ever come up with that? Remember when Geordi and Ro were cloaked? They were blind. Uh-huh. And I talked about this on last show. You weren't with us. But I talked about one of the episodes where Geordi and Ro were cloaked. And I said, now, why? If they were cloaked, they were going through walls, they were going through doors, they were going through consoles, anything. They were going through everything. Then how come they were walking on the floor? Why didn't they just go through the floor?
Yeah, that is a good question.
I mean, you know, whatever is on the ground or on the floor, on the deck, it's called, whatever's on the deck that prevents people that are cloaked from going through the deck, they should be putting it on the walls, on the ceiling. Right?
In theory.
Okay. They know how Geordi and Ro got cloaked, or phased, I guess they called it. So why didn't they mimic it later down the road? Like Voyager, you know, when they had to go onto the Borg ship 3 or 4 times. Why didn't they find a way to phase themselves to go on the Borg ship?
Actually, the Federation created a cloaking device that does exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, the phase
cloak.
Because
an admiral had the cloaking mm-hmm. device. Mm-hmm. It went back to the ship and got it. And when the Romulans sealed them up inside this meteor's cavern, they used it to come right through the asteroid and show up right in front of them.
Right in front of them. So,
and the Federation created that cloaking device, too.
Yeah.
That ain't good.
I mean, if you don't tell anybody, the Treaty of Algeron. What a stupid treaty. What the hell is that? You know, we promise we will not have any technology that you guys have that, you know, you're using to destroy us left and right. We promise we won't do that. We're just not that kind of guy. Bull. That's crazy. I'd have been developing... I'm with Admiral Pressman there. I'd have developed the cloaking phase cloak right behind their backs. You know, who gives a crap? Romulans. So, that's what I would have done. Now, how about the replicator? What can you or can't you replicate? Can you replicate a nuclear weapon?
No.
Yeah. Why? But you can replicate the... Excuse me. You can replicate the parts to make a nuclear weapon, I assume.
Except the uranium.
Yeah. That's true. So maybe find something else instead of it that works just as well.
Well, it's like everything else. If you remember when they went back, when the Klingon ship went back in time and back in Star Trek 6?
Yes.
Was Star Trek 5?
4.
4?
Yes,
the whales. And they had to go to the nuclear vessel.
Nuclear vessel.
To get atomic particles to re-energize the... dilithium crystals.
Yes.
Because by that time, we had gotten rid of all nuclear technology by that time.
Yes.
Okay, so the replicator wouldn't have no knowledge of uranium because we just don't have it around
anymore.
True,
nobody has it.
Even though the replicators are designed to do any basic element, and there are some replicators that are so big and complicated that they can actually make complicated replicators of themselves.
Replicator?
Yeah, it's it's called an industrial strength replicator. It's used to make heavy farming equipment, solar generators.
Really?
That kind of stuff. Warp drives. If they needed to, complicated computer assemblies for ships and stuff like that.
Sure. Huh.
But for some reason, because they banned the nuclear technology back, I think it was the late 22nd century or late 21st century.
Yeah.
In their timeline. They didn't have that kind of stuff around, so the computers don't have no records of it, so they can't make it.
Makes sense.
Someone would have to actually program all that in there, which they probably could do it if one of the science officers wanted to go in there and type in all that information. They could probably compose uranium to make a nuclear weapon, but why... Why? Because we have more. Because back then they've got more destructive weapons without all the fallout that the nuclear weapons have.
So you think the phasers and photon torpedoes are more powerful than a nuclear weapon?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you don't believe me, research it.
Yes. Wow. It's kind of hard to do.
Research the yield. The yield potential of a standard photon torpedo.
I was going to say, it's hard to do since there's no such thing as matter and antimatter.
Actually, there is matter and antimatter. We have measured and captured antimatter.
We've just never
made a torpedo with it.
Wow.
Or use it as a form of energy yet. But science has found it, has measured and analyzed antimatter.
Yeah.
And captured it.
And see, and that's one of the show topics I wanted to come up with one time. I wanted to call it the tech of Trek. You know, things that, like the communicator is now our cell phone. Things that we do based on that used to be in science fiction in Star Trek.
Well, look at our CAT scans and MRIs.
Yeah.
They're basically the imaging systems of the early med beds.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Star Trek.
It's amazing.
There's no. All phasers are phasic lasers.
Mm-hmm.
We have kind of rudimentary tricorders that our government uses now and has made.
Uh huh.
Like I said, yeah, our basic cell phone are almost becoming Federation pads.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
If you think about it, the BlackBerry can do just about everything a Federation pad, or better yet, PAD.
And PDF.
PDF can do the same thing as a Federation pad can do.
Sure.
including print information, store information, access information, do reports and everything. It can do them now.
Hmm.
Look at some of the newer notebooks that have come out here recently. They're almost as big as some of the larger Federation pads that we saw back in the early part of Star Trek the Next Gen.
Yeah. You mean netbooks? Netbooks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just like those.
How many doors now you see open on automatic mode?
Almost
everything is open on automatic mode now.
You'd be surprised how many times at work. We have on each side of our building, one set of doors is automatic, the other sets are manual. You'd be surprised how many people will look at the manual door, someone walking out, they would see people looking at the automatic doors. They'd watch someone walk out the automatic door, go to the manual door, and stand there and wait for it to open. It's amazing. Yeah. And what will they do then? Instead of you're there, right? You're at this door. It's not opening for you. So what would you do? I'd just go out the damn door. What do a lot of people do? They'll turn around, go back around, and go out the automatic doors. That's amazing. And then you get people that, you know, when they get to the doors, again, if they just went straight out the door they're at, they'd be fine. You know, just go out the door you're next to. But nope, they'll go all the way around and go out the automatic door. That's lazy.
Well, it's... You gotta remember, too, here's something that is a food for thought. And I say food because I'm going to use food as an example.
Yeah.
In Star Trek The Next Generation, and even in Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
Okay, they had stuff like synthahol.
Synthahol.
Okay, you could drink, it'd be like me grabbing a bottle of Jack Daniels and drinking it dry and never get drunk off of it.
Yeah.
Or true. It could be made to take a sip of it and knock me five sheets the wind through the next year.
Sure.
Okay. But the food is, no matter what you're eating, is nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, it's not loaded down like you could order a Big Mac off the USS Enterprise E,
uh-huh.
and it may have only, 200 calories, 300 calories?
If that. And it has all the nutrients your body needs, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they also, because of the automation, they realize that exercise, meditation, and stuff is just as important as anything else. So we evolved as the technology evolved. See what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Where we're at in the evolving of technology, we've not adapted to the technology. Technology has given us time to do a lot of stuff and interact and do stuff. We as a race is a very sedimentary race. We've not embraced the concept that, hey, we need to be active, even though most everything we got is easier to do and keep track of and monitor.
Yeah.
Okay, we haven't realized that we still have to be active mentally and physically, and these are the changes that most people don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
with the progression of technology, where before people were usually in better shape because, okay, we'll use the difference between our time now and 200 or so years back. So we're talking, 1809?
Yeah.
Okay, back in 1809, you got up about 5 o'clock in the morning, you went out and milked cow, fed chickens, chopped firewood for mom so she could get breakfast ready. Okay,
your breakfast might be a combination of biscuits and venison, or biscuits and pork, eggs, okay. maybe some milk gotcha. if you had okay. the dairy cows for it. Then you're out working mm-hmm. most of the day. You stop periodically to drink and rest, but you were sitting there behind a plow, a horse with a plow, plowing your land. And when you weren't, you were in the barn shaping your own furniture, crafting your own furniture inside your own. You had your own lathe, your own woodworking materials, wood building materials, that kind of stuff. Fixing your wagon wheel and your cart, shoeing a horse. I mean, before now, we have a car that we don't have to worry about shoeing a horse. We don't have to worry about feeding the horse. We don't have to worry about planting that. There's tractors that does all that, and does it in a whole lot faster and a whole lot more area. You got who needs wood when you got natural gas to keep your house warm, or electricity, depending on where you live at, but
yeah.
Most people use natural gas because it's something they can renew and create. You have electricity to see with where you will be. The kids will walk around a pail playing games, making candles. Okay. Like follow the leader. One girl would stick a string into a thing of wax and then keep going around until they make candles, and then the other kids would follow around making candles.
So you're going into a long, drawn-out spiel here. What's that have to do with technology? Are you trying to say that that's something that they obviously don't have to do anymore?
Yeah, but back then people were in good shape back then.
Oh, yeah, well, they seem to be in pretty good shape.
Well, now that
then.
We've got all these technologies, we're not in shape anymore. Mm. But as we go into the future, you'll see people being, food will be made in a way so it is nutritious no matter whatever it is.
You know, okay. Something though, one thing they did evolve, but one thing they devolved on is music. How come on the Enterprise you've never heard anyone say, hey, come to 10 Ford, we're having ZZ Top night, you know? Never. Hey, Picard, this is pretty rockin', you know? I don't think you're ever gonna hear anything like this on the Enterprise. They're not, you know, they always did classical. Bach, Beethoven. You know, I don't get what's wrong with a little bit of this.
Well, there isn't, I mean. Just depends on the person. Look at Riker, he loved jazz.
True, yes, he did love jazz.
Okay, Data loved the 60s era music. Who was it? I can't think. The one where he sung for Riker and Troy's wedding.
Oh! Oh, man, you're going to kill me with this one.
Because Worf was having a hangover over Romulan ale.
Oh yeah, I remember now. Hold on.
Blue skies.
Yes.
Smiling at me.
Uh-huh.
Must be blue skies.
But let's see if I can find that. Just for the fun of it here.
But it's the classics. Classic music is an art form.
Yeah.
Okay. If you ever tried to play it, okay, it is not something for the faint of heart. Okay. If you played any instrument before in your life, it's you got to learn how to feel the music.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a difference from just sitting there playing the notes on the beat to actually feeling the music. That was one of the things they tried to teach Data during the show, was he was good at playing it, but he never had no heart to it. okay? Mm-hmm. And that was, and then he eventually learned to make his own style. It was playing the same piece, but it had a Data style to it.
Yeah. I don't know if this is it or not.
That's it.
Is it really?
Yeah. Blue skies, do I see?
Oh, man.
Gershwin.
Gershwin? No, it's not Irving Gershwin. Berlin, but...
Yeah, Irving Berlin, that's who it is.
Yeah. That's what he played.
Irving Berlin.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Worf would even know that.
Well, he would because Data sings it all the time.
Oh.
Data plays that kind of music all the time.
Oh, okay. I could never figure out how he would even know that from the Klingon Empire. So, I don't know here.
You gotta remember when you.
Oh, you gonna take me home tonight? Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you gonna let it all hang out? Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
On the next Star Trek. Next generation. I don't see that happening either. So anyway, but go on.
But you notice they did a lot of acting.
Yes, they did. And it was always Shakespeare plays.
Shakespeare and what was the one Riker was going nuts over on all the time?
Oh, I don't know the name of it, but yeah, it was a little too real for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a freaky show, man. That was one of their freakier episodes. That actually gave me goosebumps. Damn.
I mean, they got time to go back to the classics and enjoy them and live them and understand them.
Yep.
That's where the technology has moved itself even more forward.
Sure. And then, holodecks. How about holodecks? Is there any rules on using holodecks, what you can and can't do? I mean, we've seen time and again where some crew member who's going nuts, like, you know, Mr. Broccoli, and he recreates the entire crew and has his way with them, especially Troy.
Well, looky what Data did.
Yeah?
Data created a whole new life form.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Moriarty. Moriarty. Yeah.
Oh, that was Geordi's fault there.
No, that was Data's. Oh. Yeah, that was Geordi's fault. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Make an opponent capable of defeating Data. And then, you know, Worf standing there said, whoa, that's odd. Odd power drain. All routed to Holoduck 3. I think they should have figured something was up there. And, but anyway. And
yeah, there's a good subject. Mm-hmm. What about Professor Moriarty? Because by the time Voyager ends, he could actually be brought out of his little cube, which Barclay, by the way, had.
Are you sure?
Yep. Barclay was one that was the keeper of the cube that had Moriarty. Remember, because they put him in a cube, then they put him with redundant memory that spent a whole lifetime on.
Yes.
Okay. Now, keep in mind that this was during the D Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We don't know if Barclay managed to retrieve that off the E.
The E, if it ever made it to the E, it could have crashed.
If it made it to the E.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to Professor Moriarty.
Oh, we don't.
Okay. But here's another example. This could be a subject we could pass out through Twitter and have people reply back to. A holographic race of people.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because let's face it, you have the Doctor.
Yeah.
And Professor Moriarty and whatever that lady was, Lady Contessa, that was with Moriarty.
Oh, the
Countess.
They're
all living, breathing,
yeah,
functional beings.
Holographic rights.
Even they are basically computer programs that have evolved past their initial programming. They have what Data had, what they dubbed Data as, a sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they evolved past the programming that they were intended for.
Sure.
They had feelings, they had consciousness, they knew right from wrong, mm-hmm. the whole nine yards. They met all the criteria for being a sentient being, but they're just basically, as they say, they're force protons and whatever. But because of the mobile emitter, that makes them, they can be mobile now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then turn around. How would they use them? What would they be in the world of Star Trek? Okay, would they be like what people thought they would be, end up being slave labor? Oh, we got hundreds of millions of holograms that could go into most dangerous territories where humans would be killed at, and they could go work there and work hours, 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 never tire, never nothing, don't have to feed them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just keep, make sure their mobile emitters are working.
Sure.
I mean, where do you draw a line on a sentient being? And we got another sentient being no one ever realizes, but our boy genius, Wesley Crusher.
The ball of light.
He created nanites that were actually conscious.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Okay, what do you do with them? Do you recognize them as sentient beings and allow them to join the Federation? Because it's obvious that they meet the criteria. They are a species unto themselves. They have warp capability.
How about a tribble?
No, tribbles aren't intelligent.
Well, especially since the Klingons destroyed them all. They obliterated them.
The Klingons did destroy them all, believe it or not.
Really? Because I thought...
It was in... Of Men and Gods.
Of Gods and Men, yeah.
Yeah, someone brought a nude tribble.
Neutered tribble.
Neutered tribble.
It defeats the whole purpose of having a tribble. That's not right. That ain't fair.
I'd like to see how you neuter a tribble.
That's a good point. Yeah, somehow we're going to have to come up with a way.
I'll have to look up the Klingon medical base on how to neuter a tribble.
Or what the anatomy of a tribble is. They have no eyes. They have no. I mean, they're able to make sounds, but that's all they do is they make sounds and they eat.
They make sounds. They have a mouth and they're one great big reproductive organ.
That's it. Yes. So that's funny. I love when I hear Odo talking to Worf about do they still sing songs of the great tribble hunt? So anyway. So, okay, well, I guess we'll come to the end of this show.
God, we got some good subjects for some shows in the future.
Sure, absolutely.
How do you neuter a tribble?
If anybody wants to chime in on this, please, would you send me an email and give us how you would neuter a tribble? And we would like to, we'll include that. I don't mind. I don't want to hear about how tribbles mate. That's not the point. They don't. So you can leave that out, but how would you neuter or spay a tribble? Because I don't know.
How you know it's a male or female?
I don't think there is such a thing as male. I think that's all they need. Their stuff is just food. You give them food of any kind, and that's what they need. They become pregnant and they reproduce. But yet you can't starve them. That would be cruel. That'd be torture. I mean, imagine you got this poor little tribble. He's sitting here looking for dinner. He's hungry, horny, no less, and he just wants food. And, he'd be sitting there whining all the time. You feel bad, so you'd give him some food, right? And next thing you know, you've got more tribbles around, so that's not a good idea.
Sounds like a gremlin to me.
That's true, too. Except for you can't get them wet, and you're not supposed to feed them after midnight. Right? Wasn't that it?
Yep.
Okay. So, that was Hoyt Axton that was on that movie, wasn't he?
I think so,
I think it was. He was the guy who gave him the advice, don't feed him after midnight. Don't get him wet. So, all right. Well, hey, we're going to come to the end of this show, but happy birthday, Brian. And, you know, it was, when was your birthday? Friday?
No, my birthday is this coming up Monday.
Oh, today, because this is going to be for the show is on the 25th, so as you guys are hearing it, today is Brian's birthday.
I'll be the big 4-6.
The big 4-6. Oh, no.
I'll be old. Yeah. It's official, guys. I'm middle age.
Oh, no. Well, what are you going to do?
Don't even ask me how old I am as a Klingon.
Oh, really?
You don't want to know.
Yes, I do. How old are you as a Klingon? Come on, I gotta
hear
this one.
Well, we'll put it this way. I was a Starfleet cadet when Captain Kirk was on Kittimer. Mm-hmm. I was a translator to Klingon the Federation. Mm-hmm. I was a Federation translator. So you can figure out the age.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Would be equivalent to 21 Terran Earth years.
Oh, okay. 21 Terran Earth years old. Okay. Well, if anybody
back,
else...
And back when Star Trek, the last... When Undiscovered Country came out.
Okay. Hey, guys in the audience, anybody listening to this, if you got what he just said, go ahead and send me what you think his number would be. Don't even tell us, Brian. Tell us on the next show. Maybe we'll get someone respond to this, and they'll tell us what they think your Klingon age is. But before we go, I got someone who would like to sing happy birthday to you, if you don't mind.
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, we got the time, but, yeah. Go ahead. Don't be shy. The audience is there for you. Just don't be shy. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Don't touch me there.
Happy birthday,
Brian Tedemore.
Happy birthday to you.
You don't sound like it. That's what's so pathetic.
Oh, I don't know. I may have... Oh, what? Whoa, Brian Denham.
For all the things you've done, the battles that you've won, the way you deal with U.S. Steel, and our problems by the ton.
Wow, I can't take any more. Stop, would you? All right, well, anytime you get Marilyn Monroe to sing you happy birthday, it's going to have to be good. So, all right, everybody, send Brian a happy birthday wish. You know, you could send it to Brian at LouTrekShow.com, and he'll get it. So, Brian at LouTrekShow.com. My birthday's in March, by the way, March 14th. If anybody would like to write that down and keep that in mind, and maybe send me a car for my birthday or something, I don't know. But
I know, but you bet your butt I'll have something.
I'm going to get him going. And if you send something on audio, you know where to send it to, Brian, and I won't open it until the day of the show. Just as long as it's family-friendly, that's all I ask. Or we'll have to give a disclaimer at the beginning of the show. You know.
I might have to speak to Mike Tech.
Mike Smith?
Yeah, I'll have to get a hold of Mike and tell him how to help me fix something up for you.
Sure. Mike Smith, MikeTechShow@gmail.com. is the email address, MikeTechShow@gmail.com.
Either that, I might get a hold of more tech and I have him help me.
Not who's that?
He's the webmaster for Klingon Space and Ring of Fire Fleet.
Oh, that's cool. All right, then. All right, buddy. Well, it's been nice having you here tonight. And
it's nice having you.
Okay, and we will be back again next week. Do we know what we're going to do next week? Have you had any plans, any interviews or anything?
No, I haven't had nothing. I haven't had nothing fly across my bow yet. I haven't shot anything down for the... Mm-hmm. We'll probably just continue on with our discussions about technical stuff and sure. ask the questions nobody else will ask.
You know something I do want to do here, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. If you guys made it this far into the show... God bless you. But that's not it. I want to get some people signed up for the forums. So here's what we're going to do. I need people... Let's get everybody signing up. People, you know, if you're going to be a spammer, don't worry. I just block them. I block the IP address. You get one shot to spam, and then you're done. One shot. And if stopforumspam.com says you're a spammer, you're out. You're blocked. But let's get some legitimate signups. The 10th person... Just start signing up. The person that gets number 10 will come on the show and talk to us the whole hour about Star Trek. Does that sound good to you, Brian?
Sounds good to me.
We'd talk any topic you wanted to on Star Trek. It has to be family friendly. If I can't let my daughter listen to this show, then you can't do it. But come on, the 10th person to sign up from this time forward, from Monday, January 25th, when this show goes out, the 10th person to sign up, a legitimate sign up, gets to come on the show. And so I'll announce who that person is, well, when we get 10 people to sign up. So, all right, everybody, take care. Brian, anything else you want to come with?
Nope. Engage the warp drive, number one.
All right. He's my number one, by the way. Well, thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening to the show. Happy birthday to Brian.
Pardon, not the captain, not you.
Not yet. You haven't earned your pips yet, bud.
I'm still
Brian,
bad.
Happy birthday.
I'm still higher than you are.
Yeah. Maybe an age. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Kapla.
Kapla.